11th premise. From the beginning, this culture has been a culture of occupation, and the government's been a government of occupation. The culture is a culture of occupation, and the government is a government of occupation. All my American Indian friends, of course, tell me, what the hell took you so long to figure this one out? I want to read something about the culture of occupation stuff. So, if Nazis or other fascists took over North America, what would we all do? We'd watch television, by gum. What would we do if they implemented Mussolini's definition of fascism? Fascism should more appropriately be called corporatism because it's a merger of state and corporate power. And what would we do if this occupied country called itself a democracy, but most everyone understood elections to be shams, with citizens allowed to choose between different wings of the same fascist, or following Mussolini, corporate party? What if anti-government activity was opposed by stormtroopers and secret police? Here's my secret fantasy, which won't be secret now, which is that next time they have one of those WTO meetings, that all the cops turn around and they start shooting at the WTO representatives. Because they have a lot more in common with us than they do with the people they're protecting. And of course that can't happen because the violence can only flow down. I've been thinking about this too. What would happen if cops, instead of enforcing the so-called rights of corporations to make money, what would happen if they enforced cancer-free zones? And what would happen if they enforced Walmart-free zones? Or what would happen if they enforced clear-cut free zones? Or what would happen if the cops actually forced timber companies to even obey the laws that are already on the books? And of course, it's never going to happen. You know, we may as well be talking about Angelina Jolie or something. You know, this is fantasy land. But I was thinking about this. What if instead we start thinking, okay, you know, the cops aren't going to do it? What if we start having community enforcement? And what if we meant it? Just a thought. So what if anti-government activity was opposed by stormtroopers and secret police? Would you fight back? If there already existed a resistance movement, would you join it? Now, would you resist if the fascists irradiated the countryside, poisoned food supplies, made rivers unfit for swimming and so filthy you wouldn't even dream of drinking from them anymore? What if they did this because I can't finish that sentence, because no matter how I try, I can't come up with a motivation good enough even for fascists to irradiate and toxify the landscape and water supplies? If fascists systematically deforested the continent, would you join an underground army of resistance, head to the forest, and from there to the boardrooms and the halls of the Reichstag to pick off the occupying deforesters, and most especially those that give them the marching orders? And what would we do if space aliens came down from, that's where they come from, if aliens came down from outer space and they were vacuuming the oceans and they were deforesting the planet and they were putting docks in every mother's breast milk and they were changing the climate of the planet? What would we do if space aliens were doing that? I mean, I know exactly what we'd do. We would put on our camo outfits, we would grab our AK-47s, we would... Wrong audience. Am I the only person here with an AK-47? A couple years ago, I shared the stage with Ward Churchill, and he was in the audience during my part of the talk, and I asked that question, am I the only person here with an AK-47? And the whole place is just silent. And then I hear this voice go, nope. I mean, what would we do if the Iraqis had invaded the United States? Well, you'd probably fucking applaud here, but you know, what would we do in the United States, what would we do? You know, the Iraqis were so close to invading the United States. They were this close. But because these corporations and because these governments, you know, because we pledged allegiance to these governments when we were children, you know, it's a hard time. We have a hard time separating and start to seeing, you know, that they are the enemy. Derek, you're so dualistic. We'll talk about dualism in a minute. Okay, so maybe your sense of kin and your sense of skin doesn't extend to the natural world. I mean, that's the thing, really. If you're not going to fight for a living planet, what are you going to fight for? Anyway, so maybe your sense of kin and your sense of skin doesn't extend to the natural world. Maybe you don't yet love the land where you live enough that you'd fight for it. And by fight, I don't just mean picking up guns. That's a possibility. But I also mean fighting, anyway, resisting, whatever your gifts are. What are the largest and most pressing problems you can help to solve using the gifts that are unique to you and all the universe? I mean, I write. That's what I do. You know, somebody else, if they know how to hack, there you go. You know, if you know explosives, there you go. If you love law, there you go. You know, if you want to work at a battered women's shelter. It's like I was giving a talk a few years ago, and we're all excited. Yeah, let's bring down civilization. And I stopped and I said, okay, I'm just wondering, how many people here have ever filed a timber sale appeal? Two of us raised our hands. So how many people have ever worked at a battered women's shelter? Maybe a half dozen women raise their hands. How many people have ever done indigenous solidarity work? Maybe a half dozen people. How many people have ever worked on a rape crisis hotline? I mean, there is so much work to be done. And that includes above ground work, you know? That includes really boring, horrible stuff like pouring through county zoning regulations to seeing how you can stop a developer. You know, there's so much stuff, both above ground and below ground, that needs to be done. Anyway, maybe you don't love the land where you live enough that you'd fight for it, but what if the fascists toxify not only the landscape, but the bodies of those you love? What if their actions put dioxin and dozens of other carcinogens into the flesh of your lover, children, mother, brother, sister, father? Would you fight back? How many people in here have had someone you love die of cancer? Good God. Usually it's about 80%. This is about 90% tonight. Cancer, of course, is a disease of civilization caused in great measure by the toxification of the total environment. Oh, no, sorry. It's caused by a cancer gene. Could have nothing to do with the fact that every stream in the United States is contaminated. This is USGS saying this, that every stream in the United States is contaminated with carcinogens. What if the fascists toxify your own body? Would you still cling to the illusion that their edicts carry more weight than that brought to bear by their secret and not-so-secret police? Would you work for this regime? Would you teach others its virtues, or would you fight back? If you won't fight back when they toxify your own body, when precisely will you fight back? Give me a threshold, a specific threshold at which you finally take a stand. If you can't or won't give the threshold, why not? None of these questions are rhetorical. The questions are real. They are, at this point, some of the most important questions there are.